Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Nats Insider on a beautiful Saturday in the nation's capital. Sun is out. Rain hopefully has left us for the weekend. We've got a couple more ball games coming at you from Nationals Park today and tomorrow. Pirates in town through the weekend. They take the first of three at Nationals Park last night. 6-3 in 10 innings. And these two teams will go back at it again in just a few hours. 4 o'clock, we'll get underway. 3:30, I'll have you with our Nats Extra pregame show on Masson. And, of course, full coverage for you here on 106.7 The Fan as well. A lot to talk about on today's show. Going to be joined by Jesse Dougherty of the Washington Post to discuss everything that's happened with this Nationals team through the first, two-plus weeks of the season now. And I'm going to play an interview with Adam Eaton for you guys that actually aired on our Nats Extra pregame show a handful of days ago. Had a chat with Adam about, everybody knows about the physical rehab that he went through to get back from his horrific leg injury a couple years ago, torn ACL, some issues with his ankle as well that lingered into the 2018 season. We know about the physical components of all that, but I was curious about the mental grind that guys who suffer such a serious injury need to go through. And had a nice conversation with Adam about that, and he was very open and honest about a lot of the mental issues that you deal with when you're going through such a grueling process and coming back from an injury that could affect your livelihood, could affect your ability to play the game you love. So that was a really good conversation, and we will play that for you a little bit later on our Nats Insider show this afternoon. Obviously, there are some positives and negatives to talk about with this Nationals team through their first, 12 games now of the 2019 season. Team sitting at 6-6 and currently in fourth place in what is we knew it would be a competitive National League East. I think we're finding out just how competitive it's going to be, just how much of a grind it's going to be to get through a full season in this division. Mets have gotten off to a red hot start. They're atop the division currently at 9-4, but let's be honest, this is a team that has gotten off to red hot starts over the last few years, seemingly, and then they've faded in the past, with the exception, obviously, of 2015 when they made it to the World Series. We'll see if they can keep this up. They've got some veteran guys. They've got some pitchers that have struggled to stay healthy in the past, but they do have a lot of talent and a remade roster. So do the Phillies, of course. They're at 8-4 currently. Half game back of the Mets. Nationals just took a series both in Philadelphia and in New York, so they came back home with a little momentum. Got hit a little bit last night with a tough extra inning loss. The Braves at 7-6, a half game above the Nats currently with a game in hand. And all four of these teams in the division, with the exception of the Marlins, with positive run differentials so far, scoring more than they have given up, which is leading to these positive records. Interestingly, though, and this might be an indicator of where things go for the Mets, they're 9-4, but only have a run differential of +9. 81 runs scored for them this year, 72 given up. The Nationals and Phillies are tied for the best run differential in the National League East. Obviously, that 15-1 win on Wednesday in Philadelphia will boost those numbers a bit. But this is an Nats team that, as I said, there have been some things that have gone really well to begin the season, and let's start there, because I'm a positive guy. Nationals currently rank third in Major League Baseball in runs scored per game, putting up 6.42 runs per contest. So they've gotten off to a good start offensively, and obviously a big part of that is their third baseman. Anthony Rendon is absolutely on fire right now. I mean, we've seen this guy put up some big offensive numbers in the past. I don't know that we've ever seen at any point in his career a 12-game stretch like he's had to begin this season. I'll have to go do some digging on the numbers and see what we can find. But through 12 games, Anthony Rendon is batting .426. He has an on-base percentage close to .500 at .481. He's slugging nearly 1,000. Got the third highest batting average in Major League Baseball. The second highest OPS in Major League Baseball. 6 homers in 12 games. Yeah, it's not bad. Runs driven in. Yeah, he's doing that. 16 of them in 12 games. And here's the crazy thing, too. He's got 20 hits through his 12 games. 13 of them have been for extra bases. I mean, this guy reaches base consistently. He can move the ball around the field. But he's hitting everything squared up right now. Barreling baseballs pretty much every at-bat. Last night he had 2 homers. Could have... He almost had 4. I mean, he sent one foul to the left of the left field foul pole late in the ball game, which was a moonshot. And then his first at-bat of the game, he sent one deep that looked like it just hit a wall of wind. That was when the elements were a little tough. But this guy is unreal. So the Nationals offensively, it's not just Rendon, obviously. Juan Soto's contributed. Victor Robles has been fantastic. Adam Eaton at spots had a big final game in Philadelphia. Brian Zimmerman has delivered a couple big knocks. Brian Dozier has showed that he's looking like he's starting to heat up a bit. Howie Kendrick has been phenomenal off the bench. So the Nationals are getting offensive contributions from a variety of places. Rendon, the most notable of the bunch. Starting rotation has been solid. Patrick Corbin last night delivered a gem. 7 innings of 1-run ball. Struck out 11. But unfortunately, the bullpen has been the issue for this Nationals team. They're just not getting the type of consistency from that unit that they certainly hope for. There have been games, the last 2 games in Philly, this Nationals relief corps did a fantastic job. But right now, Davey Martinez is looking for guys that he can rely on outing after outing. Last night, the national skipper said it in his post-game press conference. He really just needed 3 outs from any 6 relievers, because you know if you give the ball to Sean Doolittle with a lead in the 9th inning, you're going to be pretty good. Patrick Corbin goes 7, so Davey was looking for any way possible to piece together 3 outs there in the 8th inning. And it just hasn't been there for this Nationals bullpen so far. ERA for the relief unit of 8.12. Batting average against of .314. And nearly a walk for every 2 innings pitched for that relief unit. So we did get a roster move just a little bit ago that will hopefully help this Nationals bullpen. Justin Miller, unfortunately, heads to the injured list. He was telling reporters after last night's game, still having kind of some back issues over the last week. Felt it, I guess, initially up in New York. Tried to pitch through it. But he lands on the DL, or I should say the injured list, as it's now called, for at least 10 days. Up is Austin Williams, who Nationals fans saw last September, had a really, really nice spring. Kind of put himself on the map a little bit with the way that he performed down in West Palm. So we'll see if he can be a bit of a shot in the arm for this Nationals relief corps. And where he might get slotted in. The Trevor Rosenthal struggles to begin the season, and obviously he's doing all he can, and so are the Nationals, to get him tuned up and get him back to the form that he expects and they expect. But when you don't have your eighth inning guy pitching in the eighth inning because of struggles, it doesn't just affect him. It affects the guys that are working or were scheduled to work in the sixth inning, in the seventh inning, because it pushes them up into higher leverage situations. Davey has needed to call on guys like Tony Sipp and Matt Grace and Justin Miller and Kyle Bearclaw in the eighth inning. At times they've gotten the job done, at times they haven't. But that's kind of the trickle-down effect when you have a guy who you were counting on to pitch the eighth, and then he's not. You need other guys to get elevated into that role. So we'll see what gets worked out with this Nationals bullpen. And I know Nationals fans are frustrated, but believe me when I tell you, Mike Rizzo is frustrated, Davey Martinez is frustrated, and the guys in that clubhouse are frustrated. The relievers. So these guys are doing and are going to continue to do everything that they can to get this situation fixed, and we'll see how it all plays out. Fireworks Friday is coming up at the ballpark. Join us April 26th for the first of four Fireworks Fridays presented by Budweiser. Stick around after the Nats-Padres matchup for an exciting postgame fireworks show. First pitch at 7:05. Visit nationals.com/tickets. Stick around. More Nats Insider coming at you after the break.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Nats Insider Dan Kolko here in studio at 106.7 The Fan. Nationals and Pirates, second of three this afternoon. Make your way to Nationals Park. It is a beautiful, beautiful day. Sun is out in full force. Nationals lineup just got put out for today. Give you a glimpse at that. Adam Eaton will be leading off in right field. Allie Kendrick playing second today. So his, second start of the season. Another day off for Brian Dozier, who's flashed the offensive potential that we know that he has. Hasn't consistently gotten it going yet. But Allie Kendrick, I swear, every ball that guy has put in play since coming back from the injured list has been barreled up. This guy's a professional hitter, ladies and gentlemen, and he is, he suffered a significant injury last year with the Achilles tear, had the hamstring issue in spring, but he has come back looking like a man on a mission. Whether he's in the starting lineup, whether he's coming off the bench, huge to have that right-handed bat back for Davey Martinez and his squad. So Howie will hit second and play second today. Anthony Rendon, he's not going anywhere, playing third base and sticking in that third spot in the order. Juan Soto, fresh off his bobblehead day last night at Nationals Park, will be in left field and hit fourth. Matt Adams will get the start at first base today. He'll hit fifth. Davey putting him in there against Chris Archer, the right-hander. Kurt Suzuki will be behind the plate and hit sixth. Wilmer Defoe back at shortstop will hit seventh. Aníbal Sanchez, the right-hander, will get the ball and hit eighth. And obviously, most Nats fans by now know the rapport that he has working with Kurt Suzuki, the two of them both with the Braves last year. So hopefully that battery can dial it in today. So Sanchez on the mound and will hit eighth. And Victor Robles, center fielder, will again bat ninth. One thing I want to discuss, and it's something that Bo Porter and I talked about on our Nats Extra pregame show yesterday, it's the way that Victor Robles has been playing of late. Everyone who saw him, heard about him, read about him, knew the offensive potential that this 21-year-old had and has. We also knew that there would be some bumps in the road, and let's be honest, we saw some of those bumps the first homestand of the season. Victor is a guy who not only hasn't played much as a big leaguer, he hasn't played much as a professional. he hasn't been in a professional baseball uniform all that long, and last year suffered that arm injury. I believe it was the elbow on that diving play, missed a lot of the season. So he's learning on the fly at the major league level. When that happens, there's going to be mistakes. And we saw some base running mistakes the first week of the season. We saw a couple misreads defensively. But of late, it's been nothing but positive from Victor Robles. The guy is reaching base consistently. He's showing extra base hit potential. He's hitting the ball out of the ballpark. Two homers off of Noah Syndergaard already this season. Not an easy guy to square up. And what, to this point, has probably been the biggest swing of the Nationals' season. Victor tying the game with the Nationals down to their last strike, game two in Philadelphia on Tuesday. Tying it in the ninth and allowing them to win it in the 10th on Juan Soto's three-run homer. So Victor's been tremendous. And you wonder if he keeps performing offensively at this level, how long Davey Martinez can stay with him in the number nine spot in the order. But Davey has been very open, adamant about the fact that he thinks that number nine is a really good place for Robles for a few reasons. One, he doesn't have the pressure on him that would come with leading off or hitting number two, feeling like he needs to set the table, needs to reach base, any of that. He can just kind of go about his business in the nine spot. Secondly, he becomes essentially a second leadoff hitter for you there with Adam Eaton coming up behind him. So you're able to turn the lineup over, hopefully have him on base or his ability to drive in a run. And then you can just kind of roll from there with Eaton and whoever's in the two spot. And then there's the point that with Adam Eaton hitting behind him, he's probably going to see some better pitches to hit than he would if he was hitting sixth or seventh. He's going to see more fastballs. So it's worked out very nicely for Victor Robles hitting ninth. We'll see if Davey does end up sticking with him there for long periods of time. One thing Davey said coming into this season was a thing that he wanted to improve upon himself as a manager was sticking with a lineup more consistently. He, when looking back at the 2018 season, injuries were a very significant part of the reason why Davey kind of moved around his lineup so much, was slotting different guys in different places. But he says that he wants to be better, if at all possible, about leaving guys in a spot for lengthy periods of time. Gives them just a little bit more comfort. They know who's hitting in front of them. They know who's hitting behind them. They don't have to wonder when they show up to the ballpark where they're going to be slotted that day. So we'll see. If all's going well and Brian Dozier is performing in the number two spot, or hopefully Trey Turner makes his way back within the next 2-3 weeks or so, and you put him back there and he's doing what he did before his finger injury, then it's not as much of a topic of conversation. But Victor's been fantastic. So we get Aníbal Sánchez today going to the mound for the Nationals. And his last start out against the Phillies was pretty impressive. Gave up a couple home runs, which will happen when you're a guy that doesn't bring a ton of velocity. But this is a guy who really pitches, man. I mean, he has seemingly 12 pitches that he throws. He throws that super slow, he calls it his butterfly changeup, that just kind of flutters in there around, what, the mid to high 60s? Changes speeds, changes eye levels. And one thing that I've talked about with a number of players over the last couple of years is, especially in the launch angle era, pitching at the top of the zone or above the zone is maybe as effective of a weapon now as it's ever been. Because guys are trying to get a ball down in the zone, middle part of the zone, that they can put some launch into, that they can elevate. And especially if you're working like Anibal is in the 70s and the 80s, that 90-mile-an-hour fastball top of the zone, above the zone, probably seems like 94, 95. That's been an effective weapon for him this season. And we'll see what he can do against the Pirates. They haven't gotten off to a good start offensively. They had like three guys in their lineup last night that I hadn't even really heard of. But they pick up a 6-3 win last night in 10 innings. Now the Nationals will try and answer today. A win today, a win tomorrow gives them their third straight series win. The Giants come to town for their only visit to Nationals Park this season from April 16th through the 18th. Spice up your week by coming out to Nationals Park for this exciting midweek matchup. Visit nationals.com/tickets and get your tickets to a Nats-Giants game, or two, or three. Stick around on Nats Insider. Coming up after this, play my interview with Adam Eaton talking about the mental grind coming back from injury. More after this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to Nats Insider, a little after 12:30. First pitch coming at you a little after 4 from Nationals Park later today. Adam Eaton will play right field and lead off for the Nationals. And just, what, a week ago or so, had a conversation with Adam that we played on our Nats Extra pregame show. Going to play it again for you here. Adam talking about the mental grind of rehabilitating from a serious injury, which he thought might threaten his career in some ways. That was a devastating injury that he suffered 2 years ago, had to work his way all the way back. And so here now, that chat with Adam Eaton from just
tying
recently.
Runs are on. Familia delivers, and a swing and a slow ground ball left side. Goes through to the shortstop, Cabrera, throw to first. Safe is Eaton, and he goes down. He's hurt. Adam Eaton is hurt. Through the bag, he is down and grabbing his left leg. Oh, my goodness.
So, Adam, take us through, after the injury, what the first few hours were like for you mentally. What was that like as you were trying to comprehend what had just happened?
Well, just a few seconds after, honestly, mentally it was pretty difficult because I knew something was incredibly wrong, honestly. You go through the season and you have your bumps and bruises and you kind of test the body a little bit and usually can take inventory. But as soon as I did it, I was like, man, this is not right. This is not, how I want to, be. Honestly, I thought I broke my ankle was the first, my first thought. But, went back in the clubhouse and, Greg and Paul literally carried me off the field and, we went back there and I wanted to throw up because I was in a lot of pain, to be honest with you. So they had to kind of calm down my my stomach and kind of went white. So mentally it was tough. Like, you know that this isn't right. This isn't going to be good. You don't even need to take an MRI or anything really because mentally you know your body well enough to know that this isn't right.
So you knew it was severe, but once you found out the diagnosis, so, a couple days later, a few days later, mm-hmm. How did you go about mentally approaching what was ahead of you in terms of rehab and trying to get back to the Adam Eaton that we know?
Yeah, you don't really, I've never had a traumatic injury like that, so I don't really know at the time. That's where our medical staff and our strength staff, I really leaned on them a lot to be able to prepare me mentally as well physically. They're not just physical, creators in a sense of, basically putting us back together. Mm-hmm. But mentally, every single day I'm working with Greg Brajas and every day he's just, trust the process and it's going to be a long process. You're 2 years out. I'm still not 2 years out, but 2 years out is where they'll say I might feel normal again and I'm still not even there yet. But, every single day reminded me of that, the mental toughness and just knowing that this is going to be a really, really long journey, but you're not alone, and that's the beauty of it. The staff in here is incredible.
What were the most challenging moments of the mental process
as you tried to get back? Because I know that there were physical hurdles that you had to overcome there.
Yeah.
But the mental stuff probably is just as challenging, if not at times more challenging.
I think it's more. I definitely think it's more challenging. You know, when I found out that I had torn ACL basically they wish I would have broke my ankle, which I did, but we didn't know at the time. That's a long story.
Yeah,
but
we'll get back to that in another interview.
But basically my leg was not in a good place. That initial shock was, you know, we knew it was bad, but once you actually hear the news, it's tough. And then just knowing that, you know, you have an uphill climb during a season, you know, 160-game schedule, and you've made the climb every single year, and then this climb I've never made before. And so that initial reaction to it, I wasn't so sure. And then the first time I ran, I remember that was a really hard battle for me because I'm thinking, you know, as soon as you just start running, you just take off and go. And as everyone saw, it wasn't pretty even once I came back very difficult. You know, I'd wake up every morning and feel like I was walking on glass and my ankle and my knee and everything else, my hips. And of course, you know, once one building block falls, the other rest fall as well. So. You know, realistically, waking up every day mentally was very difficult because it's going to say what kind of day we're going to have, and to be able to not walk up and downstairs without pain. And like I said, I can go into a whole slew of things, but like I said, every day was a mental grind. And like I said, as long as that first day of running was very difficult, because again, it's like, man, this is my livelihood. I tell mom to start saving money because their career's over with, and just, you know, mentally, it's very difficult. So.
You're so positive all the time. I mean, you know, we've had a couple of years now to get to know you as a person, and you're a really positive guy. Mm-hmm. How challenging was it to stay that way through the rehab process?
Yeah, I think I'm positive, but I think I'm a realist. I think if we're in a bad place, I'll tell you, hey, we're not in a good place usually.
You have.
No, I try to stay positive because I think there's a lot of positive first of all in this game, but as well as with my knee. I knew that we're going to get better. It's going to take time, but I knew by everyone telling me that you're going to get better, to just trust it. Again, I hate to say trust the process, but, and it's so cliche, but it's true.
You love this game so much. Mm-hmm. How now is your perspective on the game of baseball different, if at all, than it was prior to your injury? Your love of the game, your appreciation of the game?
Yeah, no, I loved the game before for sure, but you take it for granted, and every day that I go out there, I think I have a new appreciation every single day. You know, this is a blessing that we play this game. We play it for money, which is crazy to me, and thousands and thousands of people watch us do it. So it's a true blessing that I've never really forgotten since I was a little kid. You know, again, you see my stature, you see how I play. I don't take any day for granted, but, you know, after that injury, it's even magnified times 10. So, love this game to death, and like I said, we'll never take it for granted, not even for a second anymore.
So I thought that was some really cool insight there from Adam Eaton, talking about the whole mental process of working back from such a significant injury. And, you know, it's so great for all of us who have seen what Adam has been through, to see him back on the field, moving so well, feeling so good about it, and obviously, as you heard, really appreciating the game now, probably like he never did before. So thanks again to Adam for that. Come out to Nationals Park on Sunday, April 28th for Kids Opening Day. The first 10,000 fans, 12 and under, will take home a kids' watch presented by Harris Teeter. Celebrate Screech's birthday, join the Junior Nats Kids Club, and run the bases after the 135 game against the Padres. Parents, head to nationals.com/tickets. Get your tickets today. Stick around on Nats Insider. Coming at you after the break, we'll have Jesse Dougherty from the Washington Post. Stick around.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, Nats Insider on 106.7 The Fan. Thrilled, absolutely thrilled to be joined now by Jesse Dougherty, who spells his name very strangely, from the Washington Post.
Jesse, your first full year on the beat. You were with us a little bit down the stretch last season. Most important question I'm going to ask you, how is your life going so far as a full-time member of a Major League Baseball beat crew?
So it's been 11 days, and I feel like it's been like a half decade. Like, there was something about that road trip that just took like years off my life.
Yeah. And Nats fans' lives, yeah, I'm assuming, too.
I'm not alone there. But other than that, it's going swimmingly. It's been great.
The coverage has been fantastic on the Post, so everyone keep reading Jesse's coverage at the Washington Post sports pages. Jesse, your thoughts through the first couple weeks of the season. Obviously, there have been some lows. There have been some highs. What are your takeaways from the way that the Nationals have played their first couple weeks of the season?
Yeah, I think if you told this team on March 27th, the night before opening day, that their bullpen would start this way and maybe some of the guys they signed would come off to slow starts or slumps, and then you said you'd be 6-5 at the end of that, they'd say, I'll sign on the dotted line right here. So right. I think it just shows how kind of top-end talented this team is, and they have a chance to put it all together. They're extremely deep up and down the roster, but you look at guys like Anthony Rendon or Juan Soto or even Victor Robles, your main guys are able to carry you in stretches when all the pieces aren't coming together or some of the phases aren't quite right, when the bullpen's struggling a bit or the starting pitching isn't totally crisp. This team is built to sustain itself in those stretches, and then when it all does come together, we've seen some flashes of some really good baseball. So I think it just shows that this team is talented and that they can sort of underachieve but then achieve at sort of a middling level, and then I'd say that leaves a lot of room for growth.
Now, the first four series that this Nationals team played were against the same two teams within the division, and one thing that I took away from playing the Phillies twice and the Mets twice is that this is going to be a division unlike anyone that the Nationals have had to navigate before, both in terms of the competition level, the number of teams that are going to be in the mix, but also just the type of play that we're going to see. And, you know, we were all kind of talking in the Nationals clubhouse earlier about the intensity of these games. For this early in the season, it's, you know, you haven't been around this team, but I know you've watched and just kind of seen the division unfold over the last handful of years. This really has been, to start the season, something that's been very different than this team has navigated through in the past.
Yeah, I mean, just think about being a pitcher in this division, too. Like, it's unrelenting. Like, yeah. Every one of these lineups, 1-8, is like you can't take a pitch off. And the plays sort of reflected that so far. I mean, the margin for error was so slim in all these games. I mean, the Mets almost turned a 11-run Nationals lead into a win the other day. Like, we just have seen so many odd things. But I think it's just it shows the level of, you know, the offensive power and the offensive skill sets in these division. The pitching's really good, and the bullpens are kind of shaky, and that's going to lead to a lot of like late game dramatics. So early on, you mentioned like how these felt like September games. I think it's because they all came down to the wire, and you really couldn't trust any team's like 7th-8th inning options so far this season. So it turned into a lot of games that were like, you got to the end, you're like, well, anything can happen now, and that's a weird thing to feel in April. And I think it is a testament to how tight this division is going to be from start to finish.
Chester Docherty from the Post joining me now on Nats Insider. That is probably going to make your job very difficult with deadlines and needing to craft game stories. It's going to make, though, in all seriousness, for a very exciting season of baseball. I mean, every year that the Nationals have won the division, they have coasted through September for the most part. Every year that they have not won the division in recent memory, they've been out of it in the last couple weeks of the season. So this is going to force this team, in my estimation, to really grind through an entire regular season. And if they do come through it and make the postseason, I would imagine they'll be better positioned than they had been in the past, because they will have been tested unlike any other time that they have in the past.
Absolutely. I mean, if you win the National League East this year, you're going to be battle-tested by the time you get to October. Right. Like, you're going to have felt – I mean, hell, the Nationals have already felt it. Like, April 6th, they felt it in New York, what it would feel like to play a – I think there were some guys who said that was a September game. Like, we felt the weight of each pitch and each at-bat like it was a September game. And, yeah, I mean, I think that could have an immeasurable effect on the team if they do go on to the postseason and want to really make a run at this. You're going to have – you're going to know that you earned it, your spot there. And I guess the flip side of that is you could be a little worn down.
True.
But I do think overall that the effect would be that you're ready to go once the games get even tighter, because you're going to have done it all year.
The bullpen obviously has been a major talking point over the first couple weeks, and it at least towards the end of the road trip, things did stabilize, right, and the bullpen pitched better and were able to get them some wins. What's your take on that unit as a whole now as we get deeper into April, and how Davey Martinez might be able to find consistent guys that he can rely upon?
Yeah, I think as guys get set roles, it's going to become a lot better. I think it was kind of a fire drill to start. Once Trevor Rosenthal struggled out of the gate, there was cycling guys through that role, and it kind of everything stemmed off that you were asking pitchers like Justin Miller or Matt Grace, who are talented guys, but maybe not high leverage relievers. You're asking them to get outs in situations that maybe they're not used to or weren't expected to be in on April 5th or whatever it was. And I think once things settled down a bit, it doesn't necessarily mean Trevor Rosenthal has to be a dominant setup man. It might mean that Kyle Barrow calls your eighth inning guy, or might mean that Justin Miller proves himself and he actually is a high leverage guy. But once you can say in a given night, here's how we're going to work backwards from Sean Doolittle, who, by the way, has been like lights out and incredible so far this season. Once you can say, here's how we're going to work back, guys can start visualizing their role. They can start planning in the batting order who they're going to see. And I think when you take out that sort of element that's kind of like a crazy carousel, these guys are going to be able to settle in. I mean, they're still major league pitchers, and yet they've struggled to start, but I think anyone would have difficulty in this sort of totally foreign situation that this start was. So, my early read is that it's been up and down, but I think this group could figure it out.
Offensively, everyone will talk about Anthony Rendon and Juan Soto because those are the guys that have put up monster numbers to begin this season. I've been very intrigued by Victor Robles, both because of what he's been able to do offensively against some really tough pitching, but also because of the way, at least in recent days, the mistakes that he made the first week of the season are not popping up nearly as frequently. You were on the road trip every stop along the way. I was not. What's your read on Victor and how he's adapting to playing every day at the major league level early on this season?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. I think the first couple series, it was like a total give and take. Like, you have these flashes of brilliance from him, and then it's set back by a bad strikeout or a bad base running mistake or a fluky error. And then on the road trip, it was kind of just like, no, you get the good. And there was like there wasn't that give and take. It was just a lot of give on his end. I mean, he was really good. I mean, you mentioned homering against twice against Noah Syndergaard, some of the stuff he's done against some of the better pitchers in the league. And he's just been extremely impressive. And I think you're right. There's a lot of self-correcting early on. Like, you saw some of those mistakes in the outfield. He seems a lot, more shorthanded there. On the base pass, he was erratic to start, and everything seems a bit more comfortable. He's been an extra base hit machine. And I think I've made the point on social media that he should be moved from the nine spot, and a lot of other people have sort of have climbed onto that. But I also think
you started a movement.
I did. I started a movement with like eight of my friends. But I think there is merit to if it's not broken, don't. What's the saying?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, you said it way better than I could. So, I think he's comfortable there, and hitting in front of Adam Eaton has clearly been a good thing for him in terms of the pitches he sees. So, I maybe am walking back my movement a bit, and I'm saying leave the guy there until he slows down.
Yeah, especially if Brian Dozier can settle into that number two spot in the order, then you really have depth with Victor Robles hitting ninth. I'm curious as to your impressions about this National starting rotation, because it's been turned over a bit from what Nats fans have seen in past years. They're used to Gio Gonzalez as a staple in there and Tanner Roark. And not only did Gio depart via free agency, but Tanner Roark was traded. They could have brought him back for one final year and opted not to. Instead, it's Anibal Sanchez. They go get Patrick Corbin, and Jeremy Helgson made a really strong first start. So, again, very early and a lot of time left for these guys to, rack up dozens worth of starts. But how do you assess the strength of the Nationals rotation this year?
You're right. I mean, and it does rest in that 3-4-5 because Steven Strasburg and Max Scherzer are at the top. I mean, I don't want to say you know what you're going to get, because Strasburg is a bit of a, not an uncertainty, but he's not as sure as Max. But with those two guys, you have two quality arms. And then Patrick Corbin has really impressed me, and he said two games where he threw really well and the bullpen squandered it. So I'd say that was a tough break for him. And then the 4 and 5 guys are really interesting as well. You think of Anibal Sanchez as a direct replacement of Tanner Roark, and what you kind of hope you get is the durability, and then added on top of that a little more effectiveness. Mm-hmm. Because Tanner was a guy you could count on for 30 plus starts a season. You just maybe wanted better results, and Anibal now hasn't hit that threshold of 30 starts in a long time, but he's been pretty good. And you saw the other night that through five and two thirds, he was really sharp. And then once he kind of got to the sixth inning, he hit a wall a bit. So I'd say that's one thing to watch with him is as he gets deeper into games and his pitch count gets into the 80s, is he still effective as he is at the start of outings? So that's one question mark. And then, yeah, Jeremy Helgson was great. And, he was talking today about going first to home. Mm-hmm. So he's not only is he pitching well, but he's also the Nationals' surprise base runner of the season.
I don't know that he wants it that way, but he'll take it. Jesse Dougherty from the Post. Final question for you, Jesse. If I asked you the biggest surprise, either positively or negatively, to this point in the season? What would you say it's been in your eyes?
Yeah, and this is a testament to how good he is, but I'd say Juan Soto's strikeouts are a little surprising. Mm-hmm. I think he was so good last year with his plate discipline and so good at making contact, and he's has a pretty high strikeout rate so far, but I think he's a guy like Robles who is so good at self-correcting that, like, I don't think any problems will linger very long. But I would say if you told me at the start of the year that his walks would sort of be where they are and his strikeouts would be a little higher, I probably would have been pretty surprised.
That said, still production from him, yeah, and absolutely. The Nationals will take it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jesse, thanks so much for the time, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan. Anytime.
Nats fans, take the field with your ultimate MLB squad in RBI Baseball. RBI 19 delivers a genuine MLB experience with the ability to manage your MLB franchise across multiple seasons, official 2019 uniforms, and hundreds of new animations. Learn more at rbigame.com, rated E for everyone. That'll do it for Nats Insider. Aníbal Sánchez and Chris Archer coming at you from Nats Park at 4 p.m. Nats Extra pregame show for you on Masson at 3:30. And Charlie and Dave will get you going here on 106.7 for First Pitch. Thanks for listening this week, everybody. Have a great rest of your weekend. Talk to you next Saturday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.